All right, Acts 20, verse number 17. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by lying in the weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God." Amen. Father, today, bless now, we ask in your name and pray. Amen. There's a great controversy among believers and among Baptists about the subject of repentance. And what does it mean and how does it play a part in salvation? And since I've just been a young person and been working toward the ministry as a young person and going to Bible college, you always hear varying definitions of repentance and how it applies to salvation and what does it mean. But the Bible speaks a lot about repentance. In fact, many times, I think over 100 times in the New Testament, you'll find at least, I think, well, maybe it was 60 or 80 times in the New Testament, you'll find the word repentance being used. And so I just want to, at the beginning this morning, just look at a few scriptures and have you follow along and we'll look at these scriptures. And then we'll make a couple of comments about repentance this morning. And if I can answer questions, I will. If I don't know the answer, I'll just say, I don't know, and we'll look for it later on. But let's look at a couple of scriptures today about the subject of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at the book of Acts again, Acts chapter 17. We just read now from Paul as he dealt with the elders in Ephesus and said that he was faithful publicly from house to house to preach the gospel. And that gospel was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 17, we find in verse number 30, the Bible says this, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to..." The word is repent, repent. Look at Acts 26 and verse number 20. Acts 26 and verse number 20. Here's Paul's delivery to King Agrippa. And it says here in verse number 20, as he addresses King Agrippa, he said, "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and through all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Again, he's talking about salvation, the gospel. Yes, ma'am. Acts 26, 20. Is that what I said? All right. So after the very last part, it says that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Look at me at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 6. Turn back to that. Go to the your right there. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse number 1. What I want you to see is that salvation, introduction here, salvation is the gift of repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. I don't believe that repentance is a work of man. I believe it's a gift of God. God gives us repentance. But you'll find that repentance and faith toward God, they're distinctively different, but they work together. You can't separate the two from each other. And we find that it's a gift that God gives as he gives faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles, the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." So he's speaking about spiritual growth now, about growing after you get born again, to moving past some things and maturing as a Christian. And he says in verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles, the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." And so we're not getting saved over and over again. And we're moving past that foundation. And the foundation that was he speaks about, he groups them together, is repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. And so we find that repentance and faith work together. Again, they're distinctively different, But they work to, they're intimately combined together. You can't separate those when it comes to salvation. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter and chapter 3. Then we find that after repentance, there's works meet for repentance. There's a change. We'll talk about that in a little while as well. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes and says verse number 9 about the Lord's promises and why the Lord is so long-suffering and is coming. We today would love to see Him come. In fact, you know, I'm old enough now, and I guess I'm probably more spiritual than I used to be anyway, not where I ought to be. But I look forward to His coming. You know, there was a day and time in my life where I was a little bit leery. It's like, Lord, you know, I'm saved, but I really want You to wait. You know, I want to enjoy some life, you know. And I didn't have a correct view of heaven and what it's going to be. And, you know, as I get a little older, I like to have them come. And the world's just gone crazy. And it just seems like no matter what you turn to and turn the news on, our government, our country, our culture does one more stupid thing against God. But He's long-suffering. And why He's long-suffering? So other folks might be saved. Glad that He was long-suffering with me, right? But look at verse number 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not one that any should perish. But watch what He says now. But that all should come to repentance. Repentance. So the message, the gospel is repentance toward God and faith for Jesus Christ. So God is long-suffering, and His will is. And by the way, this is why I don't believe in Calvinism, that God predestines some folks to heaven and some folks to hell. Because God says not one that any should perish. He died for the sins of the whole... Listen, if there was such a thing as Calvinism where He picked and chose, why did He die for the sins of the whole world? You know, why is it only any should perish? So that it all should come to repentance. And so we find that salvation is the gift of repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Let's look at a few places in the book of Mark chapter 1. Turn back there. I want you to notice with me the message of Jesus Christ, the message that Jesus Christ Himself preached about this topic of repentance. Mark chapter 1, and look with me at verses 14 and 15. And this is just a small sampling of the scripture we could turn to this morning. Mark 1, 14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. We find here that it's together. It's not separated. He's talking about repenting toward God and believing in Lord Jesus Christ. Believing the gospel. And so they're distinctly different, but they're combined together. They're intimately, that you can't separate them in the gift of salvation. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse number 16 and 17. Just a page over. It says, when the scribes and Pharisees saw Him eating with the publicans and sinners, they said unto His disciples, how is it that He eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance. Again, repentance toward God. They're far from God, sick, unrighteous, unholy, strangers from God. And now He's calling them repentance toward God. Look at one more place, Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Here's the message the disciples preached when Christ sent them out two by two. And it says, and they went out and preached that men should what? Repent. Repent. That's repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Now, there have been many discussions and debates on the topic of repentance throughout the years. And I don't think they'll ever stop until Christ returns Himself. And so many folks have different definitions of the word repentance, what it means when it comes to salvation. Must a man repent of all his sins before he can be saved? If this were true, how could a person be saved? Because it's not possible for us to repent of all our sins. Because repentance means to turn away. There's a change of mind which turns us away from the direction we're going. We're facing the direction. So repentance can't mean repenting of all your sins, because which one of us yet today has repented of all our sins? You say, well, it's the big ones. Well, where does it say that at? And in fact, I don't think you can find in the Bible, if you look for it, I don't think you can find the Bible where it says repent from your sins. We repent toward God. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment here. I'm not saying that the man can say, so the first side of the debate is a man must repent of all his sins to be saved. If this were true, no one could be saved for which one of us has truly repented and forsaken all of our sins. And if you say, well, preacher, I've not sinned in a long time. You're probably not living then, okay? You're a walking zombie and you're dead. I sinned last night when Brother Matt texted me at 10 minutes to 12. So. Now, the next side of the debate is it possible for a man to be saved without any concern or regard for their sin? The other side of the debate is, and we as Baptists have heard different preaching all through the years, there's one extreme that says we must repent of all your sin to be saved and confess all your sin, which is never not possible because even today as believers we've not yet done all of that. We're still repenting on a daily basis. We're being sanctified as we grow in Christ Jesus. But the other side is just believe. Don't change your life. In fact, this easy believism of 1, 2, 3, repeat after me business is really popular sometimes in our circles where they'll ask questions, and I was involved in some of that stuff where they ask the questions, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, who doesn't want to go to heaven when they die? Even unbelievers and Buddhists and Muslims want to go to heaven when they die. And so the person will say yes. And there's never a addressing of their sins and their sin nature. They simply said, I've watched this happen many times. They simply say, well, just pray this prayer after me. And they repeat a prayer. And then they say, well, now you've been saved. And the person who has now been told they're saved never has a change of life. They never go to church. They never desire to read the Bible, to pray, to walk with God. Now, I know that God works on us through our life and that we're not saved and become perfect. But the idea is our repentance, just changing your mind toward God, having faith toward God and no regard to your sin. I think that's a extremely other direction as well. And salvation is not simply repeating the prayer without ever experiencing a conversion. In fact, you find no such example in the Bible. There's no example in the Bible where somebody even repeats a prayer after somebody else and all of a sudden has no conversion. That is, well, you're saved now. Every example that God gives in the Bible of salvation, Christ takes a lost sinner who is engulfed in sin and he saves them and there's a change in their life. Not always immediately, but the progress is noticeable. You can't find one example in the Bible where a sinner gets saved and stays the same kind of sinner he was before his salvation. There's not given in the Bible anywhere. And so there's got to be a good balance of this, what repentance is. Let me give you quickly what repentance is not. What repentance is not. Repentance is not self-reformation. It's not reforming yourself. It is possible today for a man to reform himself in any of his habits and change his conduct on his own. Anything that we can do as believers, an unsaved person can do in self-reformation. You see, what does that mean? That means an alcoholic can stop drinking on his own. In fact, many have. Many have come to the place where they realize, wait a minute, this alcoholism is killing my body, ruining my marriage, destroying my finances. I'm going to quit drinking without any help from AA or church. Now, we don't mean I always exceed those on a multitude basis, but there are those who said, I'm done drinking. We've seen drug addicts who said, you know what, I'm tired of this lifestyle, and so I'm going to quit doing drugs without any help from the church. See, they can reform self. We've seen abusive husbands who've abused their wives, and something's happened in their life, and they realize, this is not why I don't want to lose my family, and so they've got maybe a book or a psychiatrist. They've reformed themselves and stopped abusing their wives. An adulterous woman or a man can stop committing adultery on their own. And so anything that we can say, well, I've done this, and I don't do this anymore, well, so can a lost saved man do that. So repentance, biblical repentance, is not just self-reformation. You see, reformation is man-centered. It is based on humanism. Man is putting himself up as his own, by his own bootstraps. This is self-centered religion. This is self-righteousness. Bible repentance is God-centered. It's God-centered, and that's an important thing to remember. Self-reformation is often a reaction to a problem. Why do people quit drinking? Well, it's destroying my job. It's costing me money. You see, it's a reaction to a problem. They're going to fix the problem. Biblical repentance deals with a man's unbelief and sin against God. You see, those that reform themselves don't recognize I've sinned against God. I've offended God. But Bible repentance, a man realizes I'm a sinner. Not only have I sinned, but I've sinned against a holy God. That's Bible-centered repentance, not just being self-reforming. Repentance, number two is this. Repentance is not merely feeling bad or sorry about being caught. You probably witnessed that in your life and raising children. The children, sometimes they get caught, they're right away, they're like, I'm sorry. Not for what so much what they did, but they're sorry because they got caught, right? We've all been seen that. And so being caught and feeling bad for your sin, or having all of a sudden now there's consequences. I've sowed to the flesh, I'm reaping out of the flesh, and boy, I'm sorry. That's not always repentance, feeling bad about it. We read in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. You see, there's two different kind of sorrows here. One is toward repentance, toward God. One is toward, wow, I'm reaping now, I can't stand what I'm reaping. And by the way, even unsaved people reap what they sow. We can't get away from that. I mean, it's amazing how, the other day, I faced a situation in my family's life, and I'm like, God, I forgive me, I am now reaping what I've sowed. Years ago. And it comes back, and sometimes you want to be mad at somebody, and mad at your kids, and mad at your, but I have to look back, wait a minute, I'm reaping some of the things I've sowed by being careless in some areas of my life as young. And so, being sorry, feeling bad is not always repentance. Repentance is a turning toward God. Repentance is not just confessing sin. That's not just what repentance is. Repentance is not only a changing your mind from unbelief to belief. Repentance is not repeating the prayer or being baptized. And for a long time, there's many famous preachers that said repentance is simply a changing your mind from unbelief to belief. Now that's partly true. And so repentance is not just simply repeating the prayer. And so we find, I think the rule today, now here's repentance, if I can illustrate it this way. Repentance is a man traveling in a certain direction, and he realizes it's the wrong direction, right? And so yes, there's a change, he's confronted about his direction, his condition, his mindset, what he believes. So to repent though is not just to simply say, okay, I now believe. It's that he has got to turn. Repentance involves turning and going the other direction that he came from. And I find today what we want today in churches today is we want this. We want to acknowledge, yeah, I'm a sinner going to hell. And so God saved me and I believe in you. We want to reach back and get God to come along with us. That's not repentance. And that's what we try to, we want to get God going our direction. God come and just, God, I believe in you. I don't want to go to hell, but God, I don't want to change anything in my life either. So God, can you come and get in my mess and make my sin smell better and make my sin feel better and make my soul into the flesh not quite so corruptible. And we're reaching back trying to get God to go our direction. But repentance is we repent, we turn toward God and we go, now, are we perfect? No. But we're going toward God. And so, this repentance is not just changing your mind from unbelief to belief and an easy believism. What is repentance? Let's talk about that for a few seconds here, for a few minutes. Repentance and faith are not synonymous. They don't mean the same thing. And when you try to put them to mean the same thing, you're going to get mixed up in your doctrine about repentance. And many folks trying to put them together mean that they're the same. They're not the same. In fact, we find in our text, the Lord used them separately. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. If they're the same, why put them in the same sentence together? They're not the same words. They're distinctly different, but they are inseparable in the gift of salvation. God gives us repentance and faith toward Him. Paul testified to the Jews and to the Gentiles in our text. Not just to the Jews, but to the Jews and the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith are not works of man. In fact, let's look at Acts 11. Go back to the book of Acts. Now, in the book of Acts, a lot of interesting things are happening here. So you have to be careful a little bit about interpreting the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is actually a transitional book. It's transitioning. The church is being birthed now, and the Holy Spirit of God has been given. We're transitioning from the Jews are transitioning from the law and Judaism to Christianity and the gospel. And so the Lord is using a lot of different miracles and gifts to convince them of the Word of God. And so we find this transition take place here. But look in Acts 11 and in verse number 15, we find here this argument going on. Can the Gentiles be saved? You remember Peter. Peter wasn't too excited about Gentiles being saved. In fact, he refers to it as his gospel. This is my gospel. This is the Jews' gospel. And those, you know, the Gentiles were dirty dogs. They were the scum. And now all of a sudden the Lord's going to teach the disciples the fact that, wait a minute, the gospel is for the Jew and Gentile, to whosoever shall believe. So he's teaching the Jews this. But look at Acts 11, verse number 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, that's the Gentiles, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could not withstand God? Look at verse number 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, this idea of repentance is not a work that we drum up. In fact, it's a gift that God gives. God gives us, this thing of salvation is a wonderful thing. It amazes me. Because all we do is receive Christ. He gives us the faith that we need to trust Him. And He seeks us out. He gives us the ability to repent. In fact, we find in the Bible that there are times when men can no longer repent. Right? King Saul was sorry for what he did. He did not find repentance. The New Testament, Judas was sorry for what he did in betraying Christ, but he did not find repentance. Did not find repentance. So repentance is a gift from God. It's a gift that God gives, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. It's a grace that God gives us. And so we find that that God gives us grace. Now repentance, again, is a work of, is part of salvation. But repentance is, what are we repenting toward? Okay, what are we turning toward? If repenting means to turn, have a change of mind and turn, what are we repenting toward? Well, the scripture tells us that. Look at Acts 20, verse number 21. What are we repenting toward? Let's answer that question. What does the man repent to? Acts 20:21 says, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God. Look at Acts 26, verse number 20 again. We've read that already, but let's pick that up again. What does a man repent to? Man repents to God. Acts 26, verse number 20. It says, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. So what's repentance to? That's our first question we want to answer today. What's it to? It's toward God. Well, why does a man need to repent toward God? Well, because in Romans chapter 3, we read that we're all sinners. And we became sinners by nature. Romans talks about how that one man sinned. Adam sinned, and so death passed upon all men, for all that have sinned, right? And so because Adam's our father, and he sinned against God in the garden, he's passed that sin next to all of us. And so we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. And so we are traveling far, we're talking away from God. Our heart, our mind is going away from God. And so we've sinned against God, and so we have to turn toward what? The church? No. Toward good works? No. We're turning toward God. We need God's mercy. Repentance, Repentance involves seeing myself as a sinner, seeing God as holy, admitting that I've sinned against a holy God and turning toward Him. That's that change of heart and mind. Now, may I remind you that when David sinned with Bathsheba and committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah, how that God chastened him and God called him out on the carpet and God revealed his sin to him. And Psalms 51 is a psalm of David repenting. And he said this to God. He cried out, he said, God have mercy. He said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins are before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. Now, yes, David sinned against Bathsheba. And he sinned against Uriah. He sinned against his family, against Israel. He realized this, I've sinned against God. You see, when there's self-reformation, we don't recognize our sin against God. I've just made a mess. When we're sorry we got caught, or the consequences that's too much for us, we might be sorry because we it's a mess now, but we're not as I've sinned against God. Hey, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So I'm just repeat a prayer repeat a prayer and have a change of mind. We've not acknowledged that. Wait a minute. Why do I have to repent? Well, I've sinned against God. And then I said, one of the first steps of salvation for people to realize, listen, this is not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not being good. It's realizing I am a sinner and I have sinned against the holy God. God have mercy upon me. Until you get to that place, how do I know how a person can be truly saved, converted? You've got to come to a place where you realize, I am a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by choice. I can't save myself. I'm sinning against God. God's holy and He's righteous. And He's without sin. And He's a creator. And He's a fearful God and a loving God. And I need Him. I'm going to turn, I'm walking away from Him. I'm going to turn and repent toward God. Until you do that, I don't think a person can really be born again. They say, well, that's work. No, it's a gift. It's part of the gift of salvation. And repentance and faith now are working together in the same vein. I'm turning toward God, putting my faith in Christ Jesus. You can't separate the two. Does that mean now once I turn toward God, I now am perfect? No. I'm not saying that. That's a work salvation. Does that mean that if I sin tomorrow, I'm going to lose my salvation? No, that's a work type salvation. But I've got to acknowledge, as the Bible illustrates, I've sinned. What prompted it? You know, when Christ did these miracles in the Bible, these were all illustrations and types of salvation for our learning. What prompted a blind man to come to Christ? We didn't recognize I'm blind. Christ is not blind. I'm blind. He can help me. I've got leprosy. He doesn't have leprosy. He can heal me. You got to acknowledge, well, I'm a leper. I'm a blind man. I'm a crippled man. I need help. And so we have to acknowledge our sin and turn and repent toward God. Repentance is not clinging to your sin and reaching back for God. Repentance is recognizing that you are far from God, turning toward God and placing your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus upon Calvary. Repentance now is toward God, but what's it from? What's repentance from? What are we repenting from? And I can't find in the Bible where it says repent of your sins. Yes.
Is there anything that says about dead works?
Yes. Hebrews 6. Let's go there. Hebrews 6. We read that just a few minutes ago. We'll read it again. Hebrews 6:1. So we know we have to repent toward who? God. Okay? That's what I want you to see. First of all, our repentance is repenting. We're walking away from God. Our hearts are far from God. Why do we repent? Because He sought me. God said that no man seeks after Him. He sought me. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. So it's a gift. The ability to change and turn is a gift from God. And it's repentance and faith are working side by side together. At the very same, you can't separate them. They're working together at the very same time. I'm turning toward God now, placing my faith in Christ Jesus and the work of the cross. But what am I repenting from? Look at Acts or Hebrews 6, verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. What are dead works? That's a good question. What are dead works? Well, the prodigal son living in the pig pen, that was dead works. Right? He lost all his money for rebellion and righteous living. Now he thought, I'm going to save myself. Where did he go? The pig pen. That was his idea of saving himself. I'm going to the pig pen to find something to eat. And it didn't get better, it got worse. So for him to repent, the Bible said he had to come to himself. When he came to himself, he realized, hey, my father serves better than I do as his son. I'm going to go back to my father and say, Father, against thee have I sinned. Right? It was a change of mind, a change of location, but he repented from dead works. The Thessalonians, they were serving idols. That was dead works. When they repented from their dead, from serving idols and worshiping the unknown God, they were doing dead works. The Jews trusted in the laws and traditions to save them. Hey, that was dead works. Self-righteousness, that's dead works. Anything a man does in the flesh for salvation is dead work. Right? So repenting toward God. Why? Because I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Or I'm repenting from all my dead works. All my unbelief in God, my faith in myself, my pride, my self-righteousness. I'm going to save myself. I'm going to fix it now. You know, I'm going to get this fixed. I'm going to do my best I can. I'm going to work really hard this year to be a better, to save my, no, those are all dead works. You can't save yourself. Repenting from those dead works. And our direction goes now toward God. Now that always results in a marked change of life. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ is evidenced by a changed life. The Bible only gives examples of salvation that demonstrates that truth. The sinner does not give up sin to be saved. The sinner is changed because of salvation. Grace does not put a believer back into sin. Right? This idea, well, can I be a lesbian and get saved and stay a lesbian? No. No. Because someone in that process of salvation, repenting and faith toward Christ, he's going to deliver you from that sin. You can't say, well, I want Christ, but I want to stay in my abomination. No, there's got to be, why repent then? If you believe that, listen, my lifestyle is okay, my drinking's okay, my drugs are okay, my adultery is okay, my sodomy is okay, what are you repenting from then? What are you repenting to? See, repenting toward God is acknowledging my life, what I'm living like, is a sin. I'm repenting toward God. Now, does that mean that's going to change immediately? Maybe not. But there's going to be a working. Listen, if I'm repenting toward God, working toward God, I'm walking away from that. I'm walking away from all that lifestyle, whatever it may be. And so I can't stay in my sin and try to bring God with me. Is what I'm trying to say, the Holy Spirit of God never leads a believer into sin, farther into sin. The Word of God does not justify a believer living in sin. Acts 26:20, we read that they were supposed to bring do works meet for repentance. That's not working for salvation. Listen, don't think of that's working for salvation. No, this evidence, it's talking about evidence of salvation. Listen, well, you say, well, preacher, we can't get by that. Listen, the Bible talks about in the book of John, the epistles of John. Hey, if you're saved, You'll love the brethren. That's an evidence or works meet for repentance. There's evidence. If you walk in the Spirit, there's going to be fruit of the Spirit. And so in the Christian life, if there has been repentance and faith, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ, there should be now evidences of those things. Not because we're trying really hard, it's because of what we're walking toward. You see, walking toward God does not make you more unholy or a bigger sinner. Or more hatred, more bitterness. Walking toward God, faith toward, repentance toward God. As we go this direction now toward God, we're going to become more like Christ Jesus and live like Him. That's the evidence of salvation. The evidence of repentance is from the change in direction. I was moving away from God, now I'm moving toward God. The prodigal son, he didn't say, I'm sorry for what I did to my father, but I'm going to stay here in the pig pen. When he repented, what did he do? He came home. What happened? Well, there was work meat for repentance. Changed his clothes, had new shoes, probably gave him a ring on his finger. He had a party given to him. He left the pig pen. It's all behind. And so this idea, well, you know what? I just want to be, you know, I want to claim salvation, but stay in my sin. The work of salvation, if you want to put it that way, the get to salvation is never described that way in the Bible. Every example that God gives in the Bible of reaching to somebody's life and giving them repentance, faith toward God, has resulted in a change of life. The maniac of Gadara didn't stay a maniac. He didn't say, you know what, Lord, I like the tombs, I like cutting myself, you know, I want to heaven, but just can you leave me the same way? No, it so shook the Gadareans that dozens got saved because of that example. When they came back to find out what was going on, they found this maniac who terrorized them for months and years. Now he was clothed in his right mind at the feet of Christ. You see, this salvation that, well, it's going to leave me. No, it doesn't leave. It changes us. Even the woman caught in adultery. That's a tremendous story. Who went at the well? These two women that Christ changed, touched their life. Imagine now this woman at the well that he went, the Samaritan. She was despised, hated, avoided. Because she was a woman, a Samaritan, had been married five times and lived with some other guy. Even in our culture today, if you say, I've been married five times, we're going to kind of like, what was going on? We're going to like, avoid that lady, right? Or avoid that man. Something's wrong with them. But Christ went by to see her, right? And he confronted her with her what? Her sin. Hey, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right. You don't have one. You've had five. The guy you live with right now is not your husband. Why does she repent? Because she realized, he's told me all that I've ever done. He knows me. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. So there's always been a change of life. So when there, and by the way, you've just read this week, you just read Revelation. And you see all the times when, there's at least three different occasions in Revelation when they were facing tribulation and facing all these disasters and these deaths and this pain, they would not repent of their wickedness toward God. And it later on says, I think in chapter 17 or 19, that they blaspheme God. When men refuse to repent, it leads them to blaspheme God. So this thing of repentance, I believe, is not just, I'm sorry for my sin. And it's not me confessing all, you know, repenting of all, I'm gonna quit sinning to get saved. You can't quit sinning enough to get saved. But it's repenting toward God. Of my own belief, I'm a sinner. I've offended God, I've sinned against God. Placing my faith not in what I've done, but I'm putting my faith in Christ Jesus. And I'm gonna turn toward God from dead works and walk this direction, which results in a changed life. Why is this one of you here? Well, it's likely because I can't say this for everybody, but I think this morning you're here because you repented. Time in your life when you're not going to, listen, there are a lot of folks today who are hungover from last night. Maybe they're still in the stupor, right? Well, what happened? Well, somewhere along the way there's been a repentance, a change, because we turned toward God from dead works. We're walking that direction. Does that make sense to you this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the scripture. And Lord, this is just the tip of the iceberg on the subject of repentance, Father. And Lord, today we kind of hurried through it, Lord. But Father, I pray you help us to get a good grasp of what repentance really is. Lord, it's not, Lord, just what I do, but Lord, what you do in me and through me, Father, the Spirit of God. Lord, help us, I pray today that we may be, demonstration of true repentance in our life, Father. Lord, not to be saved, but because we are saved. Not to be better than anybody else, Lord, but because, Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray you help us today. Give us wisdom. We ask today in your name and pray. Amen.